This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together.
Our first reading is from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, the first six verses. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I've driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Listen for the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Luke, the 23rd chapter, 33 through 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. The people stood by watching Jesus on the cross, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him: this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Listen for the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is Christ the King Sunday. And Tom asked me about it before service. Christ King Sunday is part of the Revised Common Lectionary, and I follow the Revised Common Lectionary in preaching to you. It's an interesting thing. It began in 1969, I believe. 1969, as Ordo Lectionum Missae, a three-year lectionary produced by the Roman Catholic Church following Second Vatican. And then it was revised a couple of times and is now embraced by the Presbyterian Church and most other Protestant denominations. Methodists, not so much. But the Presbyterian Church does. And one of the feasts, the solemnities, is Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday in ordinary time and ushers in or marks the end of a year and the beginning of a new year. So today we say goodbye to year C and begin reading from Matthew next Sunday in year A. I remember Christ the King Sunday at First Presbyterian when I was a kid. The kid year had New Year's Eve, when Dad woke us at midnight to shoot the old Fox shotgun in the air for no clearly described reason. And then Easter, when we were given some baby animal that died very shortly in some horrible way. Halloween, when we could extort candy from my grandparents. And then Thanksgiving, when we endured dinner at Aunt Jess's so we could get snow cream candy. And then, of course, Christmas, which required no explanation. No mention of Christ the King, which is a shame. Christ the King, well, it's frankly kind of a big deal. Christ the King, that reading from Luke, over his cross, this is the King of the Jews. That reading from Jeremiah, I will bring a righteous branch. Christ the King is a big deal. It's properly known as the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, and it was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925. So it's a relatively recent addition, but I'm not that old. It was in place when I was a kid, and I should have heard something about it. The solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, is a big deal. Really, it's too big a deal for us to get our minds around. King of the universe? My understanding, my capacity is too small by far to grasp such a concept. Pius XI, though, wanted the feast to impact the laity, not just theologians. And he began by saying, these are his words, if to Christ our Lord is given all power in heaven and on earth, if all men purchased by his precious blood are by a new right subjected to his dominion, if this power embraces all men, it must be clear that not one of our faculties is exempt from his empire. Those are big words. Those are big ideas. This inclusivity is shocking to human minds accustomed to tribal ways. We are most comfortable dividing the world up into us and them, and further dividing our actions into religious stuff and just stuff. Pius's words stand in sharp contrast to human understanding by asserting Christ's claim not only to all men, but to all aspect of man's being. He expanded on the dimensions of that assertion. He must reign in our minds, the Pope said, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and to the doctrines of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cleave to him alone. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls. Then he added, or to use the words of the Apostle Paul, as instruments of justice unto God. That, church, is a large, tall order. We are called to assent with perfect submission and firm belief to reveal truths and to the doctrines of Christ. That's terribly challenging. We don't naturally submit to anything beyond our own desires. Generally speaking, we manage submission most easily on Sunday morning and find it most challenging in the middle of regular life. We have to be practical, we tell ourselves. So it's no surprise that the text from Luke for this, the last Sunday in year C, is the most impractical thing imaginable. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. If ever there was an impractical site for a theological discussion, this is it. These men are being tortured to death. But it's Luke's telling. The discussion sounds like a debate in the synagogue. That's because the reality of what is happening is too horrible for us to engage in any other way. These men are hanging on crosses. Crucifixion kills by suffocation. Eventually, the victim's legs and arms can no longer support him, and the weight of his body collapses his lungs. The end is inevitable, but as slow and agonizing as the human mind can conceive. These men are choking out the last of their lives in agony while the crowd ridicules them and they throw lots for Jesus' clothing, laughing at the torture and coming death. These men are as abandoned and lost as anyone can be, yet one of them joins the crowd in their ridicule. Again, he's on a cross. He is suffocating.
Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us.
This is the best he can think of in his last minutes. Can you imagine that? The man is dying in torment and he can't think of anything better to do than taunt Jesus. Maybe that's not surprising. We're a pretty awful bunch, humanity. It is only by turning to God's righteousness that we can live in hope. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. That's what makes what happens next so astounding. The remaining criminal, choking out his life as well in equal agony with the other criminal, and Jesus, the man at the end of his life, preached a sermon. But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Through the horrors of death by crucifixion, this man recognizes Jesus and cries out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Christ the King, from his cross, speaks truth to humanity. "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." May we ever hear his words. May we celebrate with Jeremiah that the Lord is our righteousness. Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
We search for righteousness within ourselves. We are so anxious to view ourselves well, as obedient to God, as the good guys, however you'd like to say it. We want to be judged as worthy of God's love, but we need to be reminded that the Lord is our righteousness and that Christ is King. That's a tall order, but it is at the center of our faith. Till we meet again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And God's children said,
Amen.